what you think when it relates to those kinds of policies. In other words, what this intermediate, if you will, care package is for in a typical insurance policy is so that if you are getting well, you've been hospitalized, you're seriously ill, you are getting well, it's no longer necessary to leave you in the hospital at $400 a day, but you need an intermediary step in that before it's time for you to go home. And so if you're not careful with the kinds of policies that we put riders on, you'll find yourself fooling with a benefit that was not intended to do what the policies that you've been receiving testimony about do. Okay, this is set there to be a transitional period to get you home rather than a benefit that is for you to go into a nursing home or a long-term care facility.
Okay, that was my suspicion. Now let me see if I understand it, okay? That if I've got one of these Blue Cross riders on, that does not mean that you're going to pay for nursing home care. It's not the intention of that for indefinitely or for...
That's correct.
It's only from the hospitalization through the intermediate care to home.
That's right.
It's not the other way around. So it would not be appropriate then to put you folks under this particular bill, would it?
I would think not in that situation. I'm also told in a very short memo that I have on the subject matter that we do have some policies, again, you've heard this speech too often, I won't give the whole thing, requested by employer groups that cover a longer period of care. And in those, we don't have the rider that says you have to be in the hospital first. So we do it two different ways, at least two different ways, and possibly three.
Okay. Representative Agar.
Well, we have, I guess this is to Mr. Garenstrom. We have been provided with a list by Bruce Shepherd of companies and policies showing different levels of cost and benefits for long-term care. And I have assumed that, yeah, they're long-term nursing care. So that's what I think we're talking about, which is different from the purpose Mr. Crawford was just pointing out. Acceleration Life, Amex Life, Bankers Life, Colonial Penn, so forth. These are insurance companies. These then are selling insurance for the kind of purpose that we're talking about, which is the Alzheimer's disease person, the person who is declining and who can no longer be kept at home and has to be put in a sense institutionalized. These people then are providing insurance for that kind of a thing, isn't that correct?
I've not seen that representative.
Well, but we have everybody and his brother here, including Mutual of Omaha, with a nursing home plan and so forth. So we assume that's it. If that is the case, and these people are providing insurance for that specific purpose, and it is not, as Mr. Crawford pointed out, for Blue Cross, intended to reduce the cost of hospitalization by minimizing that high cost, why then should these people have this three-day hospitalization thing in here? It's incongruous, is it not?
Well, I see your point, I guess I've not made mine clear. I think the trend is in this direction, and I don't think there's any question. But let me ask you, if you've got an insurance company that writes, just like Blue Cross does, a group health policy that includes some what you'd call the lesser expense care following hospitalization, your bill says no insurance company, no insurance policy delivered or issued for delivery in this state that includes provisions ensuring payment for care in a long-term facility may require as a condition of payment under the policy that the insured be admitted to a hospital prior to admission to a long-term care facility. Now, should what you're talking about here provide apply to those insurance companies?
Well, aren't they one and the same?
Not necessarily. Those, I think you're talking about, are just individual policies there.
They are. That are covering all
this here, this
care.
Talks no insurance policy, which could be a group policy.
Oh. Well, no, chapter, Mr. Chairman, chapter 743 includes groups as...
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about this section, this bill that you have in front of you.
Well, the bill talks to everything in chapter 743, and chapter 743, as I've just been looking at it, looks at groups and as well as individual policies. They're all in that chapter.
I haven't made myself clear.
Okay.
If the... I gathered that the committee was feeling that it should not apply to healthcare service contractors that write a policy that provides for hospitalization and then have some following stays in a lesser expensive treatment facility. My thought was, why, if it doesn't apply to the healthcare service contractors that write that kind of a policy, why should it apply to an insurance company that writes that same kind of a policy?
I would agree that you're probably, if that's the intention, if the intention of the long-term care provision is to reduce the cost of the expensive hospital stay with some intermediate care, as Mr. Crawford said, that's one thing. But if you have policies that are written specifically for nursing home insurance, the implication being that this is indeterminate, and some of these have long stays, 1,000 days, 4 years, 1,500 days, you know, that sort of thing, as to the length of time that is covered under the policy. And we see that they run anywhere from $52 per month, to over a couple hundred dollars a month for this kind of insurance premium, for this kind of care. I'm assuming that the intention here is to ensure that kind of care, for that kind of care. And then, in that case, would it not be incongruous that the three-day hospital admission be required? Because you're not talking about minimizing a hospital cost. You're talking about insuring for long-term care.
Okay, another question that I've got is, who pays for those 3 days of hospitalization? In other words, if I have a policy bill with you, and one of your companies, and also insured by Blue Cross, would seem to me, correct me if I'm wrong, those guys get stuck for 3 days of hospitalization even though it's not necessary.
Well, I think the insurance company would be the same way if it's a group policy that you're talking about. Now, if you're only talking about individual policies that apply only in this kind of a situation, then maybe that's what you want to say. I don't know what the sponsors of the bill are, if they're only talking about individual policies.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this will help you, and I'm not sure that's my place to be doing so, as a matter of fact.
Oh, and this chair will take any help he can get from
but,
the sponsors.
But maybe it would help, at least for discussion purposes, if you knew by definition what kind of care you were talking about. For example, a couple of words that might work, and I'm going to get myself on a limb here, because this is not my expertise, believe me, because this is not the arena we write a lot of insurance in. But if you're talking about domiciliary or custodial care, then you are talking about something entirely different than what I've described to you that Blue Cross Blue Shield does. Okay? And then I think you're also talking about something different than what Bill has expressed some concern about in these policies that cover both arenas. In other words, when you're talking about those kinds of insurance policies, they are specifically set out to help you with the burden of the risk of long-term care. And if maybe those words, which I think underlined three times, are fairly common in that kind of policy would be helpful. It could be that Ruth would know that better than I. These are just not the types of policies I'm familiar enough to be a big help to you about.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Representative Van Loon.
If where does the intermediate type of home come? That one that we were dealing with the other day where we've got, that isn't really a nursing home, it's the small care facility in relation to this insurance. I mean, would it be covered?
I think in our case, if you're asking about the kinds of policies we're talking about, we're not so interested in what you call the facility as to what services the facility offers. That's what we're insuring.
Do you have another question, Representative?
Well, I don't think that was a full answer for what the bill would do, but then on the sheet that was given to us in comparing the different nursing home insurance policies and what they do, nearly all of these, most of these, don't go into effect until after 100 days. Is that the gate that we've been talking about? I mean, the person themselves would pay the first 100 days before any insurance benefits would come in?
That's, I'm not sure about that, but that's there's a premium. If you're talking about individual policies and somebody's going to wants to buy a policy that's going to protect them over a long time, maybe the person might feel that I can protect myself for the first 100 days, but I want something that in case I have a catastrophic illness or something that can cover me way out. Somebody might want a 50-day exclusion, somebody else might want a 100 days or 6 months. There's a difference on the premium. Now that, I don't think there's...
Okay, but I think the question, Bill, is, if I understand the Representative Van Leeuwen's concern and the concern of other people, let's ask the question this way. We're worried about being gatekeeper. We just don't want folks going in nursing homes, you know, just left and right, you know, for no reason at all, okay? Now, if I understand these policies, there's a time limit that they've got to be in the nursing home. They've got to pay for it themselves before you guys kick in on those policies, right?
Well, I'm not familiar with those policies, but I would assume so in order to make them reasonably inexpensive,
right,
as far as premium
okay,
is concerned.
So now, let's say that I decide my wife needs to go into a nursing home. I put her in the nursing home. She's there for 60 days. I paid it. Now, before your policy kicks in, I got to take her out of that nursing home, stick her in the hospital for a few days, then I can put her back in, and then you'll start paying. Sounds awful strange. I mean, if you've already got this gate, you know, I mean, am I inaccurate?
I'm not that familiar with it. All I'm saying that there's both kinds of policies are available. The trend is in the direction that the bill is going to mandate. It looks like this is the direction that the insurance company themselves want to go. They don't have the history, the experience, in order to be sure that that's the way they want to go yet, as far as cost is concerned.
We may just encourage them a little bit. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll make a stab at this. Go into work session on House Bill 2359. We've heard considerable testimony. What is the feeling of the committee?
Take tabling motions?
Whatever you'd like to do.
I move that we table House Bill 2359.
It's a non-debatable motion. Representative Shipback moves to table 2359. Would you call the roll, Dan?
No.
Representative
Gold.
No.
Representative
Shabrat.
Aye.
Representative Van
Noen.
Aye.
Representative
Carter.
No.
No. Motion to table. Right. Motion to table fails.
Thank you.
Chair will entertain other motions.
Would it make sense to hear again from Ruth in light of the three gentlemen who just exited the chair? It seemed to me that there was I would invite you to come back if you had the desire to. Is that my privilege?
No.
No, it's the chair's privilege, but chair would invite Ruth if she has additional comments to make about this bill. Excuse me?
Is that an invitation?
Yes, that's an invitation, Ruth. Sorry. But, you know. Welcome, Ruth. How's that for an invitation?
Mr. Chairman, the question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Dick,
we're trying to differentiate. May I ask the policy, the insurance coverage that you listed on this sheet that you handed us, are these policies taken out by persons who have got some kind of a hospitalization insurance that takes care of them while they're in the hospital and then for 100 days, and then provide some additional coverage for them for extended care beyond what their hospitalization policy covers, or, you know, all with a view toward them getting well and going home? Or are these so-called nursing home policies designed to cover that circumstance in which a person has reached a degenerated state for whatever reason and is now permanently until their demise going to be in a nursing home? What is the purpose of these? I guess that's the key to the whole controversy here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agrins, it's the latter answer exclusively. I'm not sure, if I may, that there is a substantive debate here. There may be some lack of awareness of the distinction. There are only 17 companies authorized to sell long-term care insurance that includes nursing home insurance in this state. They are mostly purchased by individuals, most of them older persons, most of them who are Medicare covered for hospitalization, and who are looking, the industry itself, that's the new industry that sells nursing home and long-term care insurance, says that the market is that group of people and their 60-year-old children, and even some of those children's children, age 50 and up, who are concerned about the financial problems involved with impoverishment when you're involved in a nursing home for a long-term care stay. Medicare covers up to 100 days in nursing homes on a skilled care basis. So the answer is that these policies, which are very new, what evidence we can develop is that very few people have purchased them. They're expensive, especially if you get the good benefits. They're purchased by individuals who are looking at that possibility, and the odds are that 20% of older people at a given time, 65 and over, will be in a nursing home sometime in their lives. 5% are in there now.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Agron,
these then are what you would call Medicare supplements for long-term care?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agrins, there's another distinction to be made. No, they are not, sir. Medicare supplementary policies or Medigap policies are those policies that look at the present coverages in hospitals and the benefits of Medicare exclusively and say, we can ensure additional benefits that will help you with your needs in your older age. And we group them. There's some 50 to 60 of them that are authorized to sell in this state. And those do not include nursing home care. These are exclusive to nursing home care on that list I've given you. And there are only about 17 that are authorized to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carter.
I'd like to offer a motion that we pass this bill out to the floor and do pass.
Okay. Representative Carter moves House Bill 2359 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Agron.
I guess that I have a concern, a very real concern, because I have an appointment with Social Security tomorrow. My time has come, you see.
Some people think it's long past.
I understand that.
Welcome, Representative Agron.
But, in all seriousness, hospitalization is hospitalization. Convalescence is convalescence. A return to good health is a return to good health. I have a concern about taking policies that are meant to cover that sort of thing and construing them to cover long-term nursing home care, which is a separate purpose and which is sold separately, okay? Now, I guess my question is that what House Bill 2359 would do? Would it go retrospectively to policies that were intended to hospitalize a person, convalesce a person, return them to good health, and then cause them to provide coverage that is otherwise not anticipated and which is separately sold?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agrins, there is no insurance policy authorized for sale in the state of Oregon, and there is no element of Medicare policies that cover long-term nursing home care, period, excepting those that are exclusive to that and are listed there.
That are these.
That's correct.
So then my assumption is correct that this bill would apply to policies that were sold for some other purpose and now create a new purpose for them. Not these, but the others. Every other hospitalization policy that does not anticipate this.
Representative Agrins, the chair is confused. I'm wondering how we got to that conclusion from the answer and the information that I've heard. Could you explain it?
Mr. Chairman, we very clearly heard that there are policies that deal with what's going to eventually happen to me, and I'm no longer going to be able to be kept at home. I'm not a sick person to where I need, you know, intensive nursing care, but they got to, quote, put me away, unquote. And there I go, and somebody's got to pay for it. I've decided I want to be insured for that, and so I've been paying insurance so that when that happens, I'm not a drain on my family. That's one thing. Another is, I have insurance that says if I get sick, that I'm going to get my hospitalization paid for and convalescence paid for, upon which I'm going to return home and once again flourish and be happy. There are two different kinds of expectations and two different kinds of things being insured. And so I say that if this list here is one that takes care of the first instance that says, you poor devil, we're going to have to put you away and this is going to pay for it, and we know that and we're paying a premium for that, that's one thing. On the other hand, if it's going to take a hospitalization policy that was not intended to cover anything but convalescence and return to health and cause that, then to provide extended, long-term, indefinite care until death, that's, I think, the issue.
Wait, I know, okay, I understand what you're saying now, but I'm looking at 2359, Representative Agrins, and it simply, it talks about not requiring hospitalization. It would seem the second instance that you're talking about, the person would have already been hospitalized, which would be then, this bill is not even dealing with that issue. I mean, the policy issue here in this is simply, should a person be hospitalized, be required to be hospitalized before they go into an institution?
Mr. Chair.
Now, am I missing something, Representative Agrins?
I guess you're probably right, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I've lost the original hook as we got to looking at the different kinds of insurance here.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's such a complicated thing, if I may. When we've been dealing with this in United Seniors now for 18 months, and we've made a commitment to stay with it for as long as many years as we need to, because state policy decisions need to be made, and it is confusing. I think that our bill says, by intent and words, that company which sells nursing home insurance may not require
prior hospitalization,
period.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Ford.
Mr. Chair, I have a notation here on the bill. I don't remember where it came from. But it says that there might have been amendments from Senior Services Division. Is that correct? I'd like to know if someone's here from CMUC.
The chair is not aware of any amendments. Are there any amendments? There are no amendments.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I would feel a little better if instead of prior hospitalization, there were some form of assessment of the individual.
Well, Representative Ford, if I may respond to that, if you take a look at this, the form of assessment is the waiting period before the coverage starts. If you go down through this list, we're talking, you know, there's only one of these policies that's, or two, excuse me, three, out of the 17 that start on the first day. The rest of them start anywhere from 90 days to 100 days afterwards.
Yeah, this is only one of the barriers that we're looking at.
Right.
It
would seem to me, it would seem to the chair, a sufficient barrier to making sure that this is not misused.
I'm not so sure, because I think that there are cases, I know how Pam cares about this issue with Alzheimer's, but I think there are cases where families would put their person into a nursing home because they don't want to be bothered. And it could be a year or two before it's really necessary, especially considering that there are adult foster care homes.
Okay.
And other...
Right, that may be true, but I'm not sure how hospitalization, the condition of hospitalization is going to prevent that.
No, but I've got real problems.
Okay, vote no.
Might do that.
Representative Van Loo.
Okay.
We're going to cut off debate on this thing pretty darn soon here.
I was where you are on the 100 days until somebody out here pointed out the fact that you have 100 days of Medicare or something paid for. Is why this 100 days is in here? Because that first 100 days is covered by some other...
Ruth, can you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Van Loo, 100 days skilled care is covered, so it's unclear until you read the fine print of each policy whether that means 100 days of custodial care first or what level of care it does mean. We chose just one of the what we thought was the most ridiculous barrier in terms of the expense to, you know, insurance companies and people to be hospitalized for no reason. If they need to be hospitalized, the doctor will certainly see that they are. And other insurance mechanisms come into play at that point.
I guess, Mr. Chair, what we're looking for, and I thought I'd found it in this 100 days until I learned that 100 days is paid for some other way, maybe.
Maybe, but rarely. There are very few dollars spent in Oregon's nursing homes through the Medicare mechanism.
Okay, we have a motion before us. Now, this is the way the chair sees the issue. Simple policy question that I see is that we're talking about people who are being admitted into nursing homes. Should they have to go through the burden of being hospitalized for 3 days before they're admitted? As I read the bill, that's the policy decision. Representative Becker.
May I add to that, what is rare about this bill is the fact that under normal circumstances, you get a piece of legislation and you need all the backup material to understand it. What's rare about this, Section 2 says what this is about in about 53 words. And I have gone full circle and come back to the realization that the answer is right there in Section 2, and we ought to be able to make up our mind on those 53 words.
Mr. Chair. Okay.
Representative Gould.
On the question of the 100 days and whether that's covered in some other way, the only way I would know of is, and that I'm not sure that would be true, but if a person happens to be on Medicaid, I suppose it's possible that Medicaid would be covering. I don't know that for a fact, but there is, to the best of my knowledge, through my dealings with residents of nursing homes and, you know, so on, I only know of the spend down theory, that you spend your fortune that you've acquired. Now I'm giving the speech. But you spend the fortune that you've acquired over a period of years, and then if you're lucky and you're down to $1,500, maybe you'll get something covered.
On average, 7 months.
Well, Representative Kirk.
Just a question to you.
How can Ruth?
How can we keep out abuse? How can we keep down Representative Ford's concern in terms of the possibility of abuse? Somebody putting their person that they're keeping into this kind of care prior to a need for that person to be there, when there could be an intermediate kind of step.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carter, there is the legislative concept proposed that's been discussed here, kind of by implication, about pre-admission screening and the need for both the private and the public sector to make sure that the person needs the nursing home option. You know, we want to make real sure, United Seniors and the rest of us, that we are foursquare in support of the nursing homes, quality nursing homes, when we need them and when the placement is made appropriately. And the screen is a concept that is terribly important, both as a public policy and otherwise. It is not now in this bill. This bill is very lean and clean in that it includes only the 3-day hospitalization.
You want to make sure all I'm real over here. Where's Burke?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ford?
I am going to support the bill because the